Now, today's show is brought to you by Bonobos. I love Bonobos. They're the men's apparel brand focused on an excellent fit and amazing customer service. I actually have a pair of cone denim jeans from them, and I can't get enough of them. They are literally the best jeans I have. Go over to bonobos.com right now. That's B-O-N-O-B-O-S.com. for better fitting men's clothing. Thank you for sponsoring the show. And if you are a fan of Bonobos and this show, you will get 20% off when you use HOW as an offer code. That's how, if it's your first time purchasing on Bonobos. So there you go. Now on to the show. Hey everybody, check it out. We are going to be live in your town, if your town is New York or L.A., June 15th in Los Angeles. That's a Saturday night at 9 p.m. We'll be at Largo in Los Angeles. Just go to largola.com, buy tickets, come out and see us. The movies and guests will be announced soon. June 27th, that's a Thursday, in New York City, we're going to be at Subculture on Bleecker at 7:30 p.m. and 10 p.m. Two shows, two different guests, two different movies. It's going to be great. Come see us in New York. We love doing shows out there. Go to subculturenyc.com. So that's L.A., New York. Come see us June 15th, June 27th. Buy them tickets. Fast cars, sweaty muscles, amnesia, tanks, and family. It's what the great Gatsby would be if he wasn't such a pussy. We saw Fast and the Furious 6, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for...
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? Oh boy, oh boy, we got a great show for you today. I am Paul Scheer. I'm joined as always by Jason Mantzoukas. How are you, Jason?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
And June Diane Raphael. How are you, June?
Good. How are you, Paul?
Last year when Fast Five came out, we did a movie with, we did it with Adam Scott, and we figured that we needed to bring him back for Fast and the Furious 6. So please welcome Adam Scott. Hello, Adam.
What's up, bros?
Dude, how's it going?
Seriously though, guys. It's going great.
We're all in muscle tees, just hanging out. We've been inspired by...
We're all in our independent... We're all in different cars. We're drag racing through the streets of Los Angeles for this episode.
That's right.
Just so...
follow along on the webcast.
There's not a lot of clips for this movie because it just came out in the theater, so I'm going to play the trailer. Take a listen to the trailer.
What, 100 million buys, huh? It wasn't that hard to find you, Toretto.
Wasn't hiding.
Last week, a team of highly coordinated drivers took down an entire military convoy. You're gonna help me catch a team responsible.
And why is that?
They're chasing this crew across 12 countries. This was taken a week ago.
It's impossible.
I need your help, Dom. I need your team.
You got the best crew in the world standing right in front of you. Give them a reason to stay.
Our target's Owen Shaw. For years, they've been running jobs in Europe, but their most recent jobs graduated them to a whole new level.
You get us close to Letty and we'll get you Shaw. And you give us full pardons all the way around.
That's the deal. Take it or leave it. Ride or die.
We're not dealing with cops or drug dealers. I've never seen this before.
This code you live by makes you predictable. And I can reach out and break you whenever I want.
You believe in ghosts?
Maybe the Letty we once knew is gone.
You don't turn your back on them, even when they do.
Guys, they got a tank.
Damn.
We talk of vehicular warfare.
This is not what we do.
Thank you.
Okay, Fast 6. Let me just get off by saying that I don't remember anything that happened in the first, in any of these movies, ever.
Oh, no.
I don't remember these characters' names when the movie starts. Yet, I love this movie. I look forward to these movies.
Oh, my
movies,
God.
And yeah. I think they're better than any other trilogy.
The minute the credit went down, I gave this movie a standing ovation. Yeah. I leapt out of my seat and started clapping. And I said to my friend next to me, that was flawless.
Yeah.
They
did the thing that Karate Kid 2 did that I just love so much, which is that the sequels don't do often enough, which is the opening credits is just a sizzle reel of the preceding movie.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, it was highlights of past hairdos.
Yeah. It's just so, it's like they are not fucking around at all.
Basically, the movie starts with previously on Fast and the Furious,
yeah,
like
yeah,
essentially,
exactly.
and they'd recap because what it's done now, I and believe me, I have not seen all these movies, is just woven together all of these disparate characters from all these, and then yes. It keeps introducing new, like The Rock
but
didn't exist until 5, right?
Yeah. No, he's
right.
Brand
but there's
new.
No narrative to this sizzle reel. I mean, it's
no, there isn't.
Places. So for those of us who haven't seen any of the movies, like it's really just like here's a moment that
oh, it
is
might
not
as well be it might as well be next week on Mad Men.
Yeah.
The most enigmatic nonsense I've ever seen in my life.
I do feel like the clip reel at the beginning is just showing you, like, proof that these people were in other movies. So you could just say, like, wait, I didn't know that character was here. Like,
oh, yeah.
No, they were here. Yeah.
Remember?
Right,
yeah. Remember, she was in a bikini. Remember, yeah. He blew this up. Everything needs to be delineated very clearly.
Right.
I feel like this movie also understands exactly what it is, and this one and the last one, they're just like, let's just fucking go crazy. Because prove to me that these characters are not superheroes.
Yeah.
You can't. They can fight. When they fight, they literally throw people through walls. Like The Rock.
Oh, yeah.
The Rock
interrogates. The amount of cement and concrete that's broken by someone pushing another person into a wall.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
And that's weird.
And in this one in particular, it was actually, I have to say, I didn't, just being completely honest.
Please do.
We're being honest here, right?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Mostly.
Please.
I'm holding back like 10%.
Okay. Well, we're going to break you by the end of this episode. I was a little let down. Like, I loved the last one so much. And I felt like this one, while great, it just jumped the shark just a little bit for me. Even though the movie, has been a series of shark jumping, this one brought them into a bunker with, like, world military leaders. And, like, these are drag racers.
Yeah.
It's taken it just a little. And
well, that's the thing. Like, they're drag racers, but now they're amazing fighters. Like, their fight skills are
every one of them.
Yeah,
every one of them is now Jason Bourne on every level. Like like Paul Walker literally goes. He is wanted in the United States, and part of this movie involves him just to solidify what to get one piece of information, which they never use again.
Never.
He infiltrates an American jail for 24 hours.
It was crazy.
That alone could have been a movie. That entire storyline.
Confinement.
Yes. Wait, yeah, but for 24 hours.
And
yeah.
I will say the entire movie, if you're watching it, takes place in 4 days. It seems virtually impossible that 4 days have passed. Like, they do so much in 4 days in this movie.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Paul Walker travels from London to L.A., does 24 hours in an L.A. jail cell, comes back, and this is in the middle of the movie, so days have passed.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
right.
Then he's also on top.
I mean, I do hear your point, Adam. It's like, at the end of the day, these guys drive cars. Like, why did The Rock think that they were the guys, they were the team to go to essentially, like, stop a nuclear weapon from being armed?
Like, a dirty tech bomb.
Yeah.
These guys are now changing world events.
Yeah, they are.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, they are.
Just to put it in perspective, in the first movie, they robbed a bank,
yep.
I believe. So, like, that's how far they've come. That you're right. When they're in the bunker, and here we go. This is all going to be spoilers because we could talk about it out of order. When they're in the bunker with a NATO general, and then They fucking threaten the NATO general.
Like, oh my God. When The Rock pulls a gun on that guy, I started laughing so loud. When they're basically like, we're going to let the world's most dangerous terrorist go so that Jordana Brewster doesn't get killed.
Yeah.
Like, it was insane.
Please kill her. Please.
Yeah, she doesn't serve even a purpose in the films besides just being, like there's a lot of strong women in this movie, but she, on the other side of the spectrum, is so weak.
I was just going to say, Giselle, who dies in this movie, is, spoiler.
I did too.
I cried.
I cried in this movie for real when Giselle died.
Oh, Giselle's like my favorite.
It was a beautiful moment.
That was so well harrowing.
Done. It was crazy. I mean, Giselle look on her face. It will haunt me forever.
Giselle and Han, that is a love story that will take over time, right?
Wait, I do have a question, though. So,
Sorry.
So just the basic plot of the movie, though, it was a little confusing what their stakes were because they signed on to this job to both get Michelle Rodriguez back.
I think that's the only reason.
Also to get... pardoned.
Well, yeah, they were going to get pardoned.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was a part of the deal. Now, here's what was so weird about it. They had Michelle Rodriguez at arm's length a number of times in the movie.
Right.
Yes.
Full scenes with her. Why didn't Vin Diesel just take her and put her in his car?
Well, no. He didn't need to steal her. He wanted to get closure on that, but he wanted the pardons. They were there for the pardons.
Oh, see, no. They were there for her and her alone.
What?
No way. That's his. Oh, my God.
Really? Because
the pardons came in after. It's all about family. They said it like 10 million times. I'm going to say something that you're going to come out, you're going to beg me to come do it, and it was Michelle Rodriguez. Now, why would anybody want that? Who knows?
But when they were around that table in that other bunker, in their London bunker, that seemed to be on like the 50th floor of a building.
Yes.
But cars were in there nonstop.
Easily.
Always. And giant cars.
Yep.
I felt like they were all around the table, and he was like, what does it take? And he's like, full pardons. And The Rock was like...
Paul Walker suggested that.
Oh, okay.
Vin was like, I'm in, but this is on me. You guys don't have to do this. They come in and they're like, but we want pardons. And then he's like, we can't do that. And then they fight for pardons and get them. Okay. Blah, whatever.
By the way, can I just make the point that they're fighting for full pardons for the whole movie? When we find them at the beginning of the movie, they're all living these incredible luxurious
lives. Why would they ever want to leave?
Because they want to live in Queens.
Yeah, well, no, they
want to live in East LA.
They want to live in the shittiest dump.
Shithole.
And they're in Rio. It's like this beautiful,
here's what's very strange about it, too. It's like you sort of get the sense that they don't, that they'd rather live in East LA if they could be together. But my question is, why couldn't they be together before in a luxurious place?
Who knows?
But here's what I'm saying, too. This is why this movie is so successful, because it's like, fuck all that rich shit. I want to be back in my hood, drinking Corona.
Yep,
right.
Fucking
so
eating
much
barbecue.
Corona.
Yeah, and so Heinz. Much
Corona.
So much Corona and Heinz
and Nas. Energy drink and car. Because also, isn't that an energy drink that is based on a car, like, thing?
Oh, is that? Because I just thought it was the chemical for the car. But they make an energy drink?
It's an energy drink as well.
Oh, I didn't know that. I've never seen that.
It's both.
Oh, my God. That's really funny.
Wait, is it an energy drink based on the fictional chemical that they invented in that first Fast and the Furious movie?
Oh, is that what this is? Is it not a real thing?
I don't know.
I mean, NOS is just, isn't it nitrous
oxide?
Are we
men? Are we real men? I mean, like,
well,
are we really?
Now?
I mean, for real, this is embarrassing.
This movie posits that Vin Diesel wakes up in the morning shirtless and goes outside and just starts working on an engine.
Yep.
Just like he's not even in a garage. He's just out like on a patio.
On a porch in like Sardinia or someplace. Like, like working on a Mustang engine.
He's in a carless village on an island.
Guys, he's amazing in this movie.
He's awesome.
He's amazing.
Unbelievable performance.
He's wonderful.
Did anyone else notice that he shaves his armpits?
No,
I didn't.
Either
he shaves his armpits or he does not grow hair under his arms. I was just like, is that a thing for like big dudes, they don't.
I think that's the idea, is that you like a lot of bodybuilders don't have hair there.
Yeah, they don't have hair anywhere.
Yeah, so I think.
Ooh, tell me more.
I think they all shave it straight up, straight down.
But I would also,
The Rock is like hairless. Yeah. He doesn't have hair on his arms or anything.
I would posit
in an effort to show off your muscles.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, accentuate
your body.
Sure.
I mean, I would also posit that hair is afraid to grow on Vin Diesel's body.
Yeah.
Guys, Vin Diesel's performance, Vin Diesel and The Rock's performance, but the story between these Hobbs and Dom is unbelievable. It is a story of for the ages.
Oh my God.
A love.
Although I will say, too,
you want to see them fucking seven. Like,
yes.
It would be a brutal fuck scene.
I also thought, though, that his scenes with Michelle Rodriguez, Vin Diesel and Michelle Rodriguez, were electric.
No.
Yes,
oh,
I thought they were wonderful.
Oh, really?
I didn't really.
I thought they were wonderful.
I didn't really.
I wasn't into it.
Are you
neither was
serious?
I. Yeah, I thought they were. I was like, I don't want to see these two touch each other at
yeah,
all.
Me either.
Well, she didn't have anything. Like, I don't know, that it's like an issue that I feel like she's so tough girl that she can't let that Vin Diesel charm break through.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But that's what's so great about it.
See, part of the problem for me is I don't think I saw the movie where they were in love, so I don't have any connection to it. I'm so much more connected to the Brazilian police lady.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I
kept being like,
too.
Where is she? Are we forsaking her? And then she shows up at the end, and in fact, we are forsaking her.
Yeah. Well,
how dare you, Vin Diesel?
But by the way, just because she was not in this movie doesn't mean she will not be a huge part in the next
film. Oh, she absolutely could.
Please tell me Giselle's gonna come back to life.
Oh, she's gotta
be. Nobody ever dies.
I can't accept that she's
even
gone.
The people who die, like Michelle Rodriguez, I believe, well, she died once or twice. Like, people die in this movie and come back. Like, they really...
Michelle Rodriguez, like, I mean, this was, like, the resurrection. This was huge thing. Because it's now been, like, four movies since she was alive,
I think. Never mind the fact that this... we talked about this last time, that these movies are prequels to Tokyo Drift.
Is that right?
And that's why the post-credit sequence takes... Post-credit sequence, by the way.
Guys.
The best.
Amazing.
I literally freaked out when this happened.
Like, yeah!
I was freaking out when this happened. I was already standing.
I was so excited.
And, okay, so what happened? Okay.
Well, like, just...
Okay, go ahead.
So Tokyo Drift obviously takes place in the future. Obviously. Takes place in the future.
I have not seen Tokyo Drift.
No, I kind of want to.
Why does that take... How do you know that it's a... These are all prequels.
Well, because from what I did a little research, but it is a prequel. Like, when that movie started, it was like in 2000, you know, it was like 2015 or something. Like, they just pushed it forward, I think, to protect Dom and, so I think that they just kind of moved it forward so they could kind of
What they did with the Bourne movie. They just created a side character, sideways character, and allowed for if Matt Damon got it.
And so basically in that movie, they introduce Han and all these characters. So that's why in the last couple films, or the last movie when Han was there, Giselle says to him, like, where do you want to go? Or don't you want to go to Tokyo? And he's like, yeah, we'll get there. The reason why he's like, we'll get there is because he's going to fucking die. They had to prolong him from dying. So that's why she's like, you always wanted to go to Tokyo. So they were
Tokyo. He die in Tokyo Drift?
Yes.
He dies in that credit sequence.
No, I know.
But he's been like that. So everyone who saw Fast and Furious 3 Tokyo Drift, he's dead. That's why everyone's like, whoa, why is he back?
We need to watch
all of them.
Shame on us, and I'm sure the message boards are going to be like, you fucking assholes, how can you talk about this movie you don't know about?
I would argue.
I don't like you guys.
By the way, when that happened in the post-credit sequence, I literally thought... Justin Lin must listen to How Did This Get Made?
That
was perfection.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
The only thing that would have been better, we'll tell you what happens.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I just want to go.
So Han, you know, when they cut back into Tokyo Drift, Han's car flips and he was hit by another car. You don't know who is in, you know, you just, in the movie you saw, he got hit by another car. But they reveal the alternate version of the scene, which is the guy who hit him is
Jason Statham.
Fucking Jason Statham.
Are you kidding? Chev Chelios!
Best!
Chev Chelios is up in this piece.
He fucking.
What?
And you understand what Seven's going to be about.
As far as I'm concerned, he is Chev Chelios in Seven.
He has to.
I think he's Chev Chelios. I'm spreading that rumor right now. Jason Statham is playing Chev Chelios in the next movie.
It would be basically this.
Spread that rumor, internet.
This is what I think. My two cents is this. He is Shaw's brother. Shaw's the bad guy in Fast 6. And he is now going to avenge his brother's death. I love that idea because he kills Han and then, boom, immediately gets on a phone. And everyone in this movie, the minute they pick up a phone,
everyone's there.
They've picked up and they've answered. There's no going to voicemail in this
world.
And
there's no greetings. There's not at one point, one of the guys in this just picks up a phone and starts listening to the other person talk.
Yeah.
He doesn't say hello. He doesn't do anything.
Tyrese picks up a phone while he's flying in a jet.
In a jet! Yep. And it has perfect connection.
Since we just brought him up, can we talk about how amazing Tyrese is?
Tyrese. Flawless.
Flawless.
Everybody's
nailing
performance.
Ludicrous. Nailing
ludicrous.
It. Left.
Over. Chris over. Bridges, right. Guys. Chris Bridges.
The comedy plays nice and good in this movie.
Beautiful.
So good.
Can I talk about a comedy bit that I have to believe was on purpose, but I have a suspicion that it wasn't. But
okay, yes, please. I think I know.
It played perfectly. It was like a classic. Like, what is the rule of three in comedy or whatever?
Yeah.
Like when the photo of Michelle Rodriguez when they first show it to Vin Diesel, he has like almost zero reaction to it. But we as an audience know what is supposed to be going on, so we keep. The second time they show it, it's to Paul Walker. The reaction is almost nothing. and then the third time is extra spectacular because they throw it on the table in front of everyone, and no one has a reaction to it. It was like
everybody in the movie was like, do we really need to have her back?
Then Michelle Rodriguez picks up the photo and has a little reaction to it herself. Okay. She's looking at herself.
Did everybody feel like throughout the movie? Okay, so in the movie, Michelle Rodriguez's character has amnesia.
Amnesia.
That is how she's able to, because in the film, we have not even talked about the plot of this movie.
Oh, no.
And I couldn't give a shit. But rest assured, this movie is about our team goes up against another team
that looks identical to them.
Yes, they have doppelgangers, and that was a funny moment when Tyrese is like, "This is there, this guy, and this is there, that guy." I love that. Anyway,
Tyrese is a star.
Tyrese is a star.
Oh my
god, Tyrese is the best.
Tyrese is great in a supporting role. Unstoppable.
They also have an identical computer system in their hideout.
But what I loved was, in order to justify that Michelle Rodriguez is on the enemy team, she has amnesia. But did anybody else keep feeling like she kept getting hit in the head and stuff? Did you ever feel like, her memories must be back now?
I thought for sure she was going to get her memory back.
I thought every time something big happened, she would now be like, I remember everything. I love you. Every time the movie ends and he goes, one of the last lines of the movie is, he goes, Vin Diesel says to her, do you remember any of this? They're back in their home. Do you remember any of this? And she goes, nope.
She also says nope, but it feels like home.
Yeah,
what does that mean?
Oh my god!
Yeah.
Who knows?
That was really weird.
And by the way, they're fucking having this party. Meanwhile, Han is like, glove is dead, and he's like sitting on the street drinking a beer, looking so depressed.
They are so happy. They are so happy that they got Mia back.
Yeah.
They're all celebrating. This dude's girlfriend just died.
First of all, they did do a toast to those who have passed.
No, but
I'm assuming Giselle was a part of that.
No, but you see, they said like they did a toast at the end, and it was like, we got her back. We did this, but they should have said, and the person who's been with us for the last fucking three movies, cheers to her.
Yeah.
She died.
Because she was awesome and was way more useful than Mia. Because Mia never does anything. And this girl can shoot. She is a badass. She's like a model.
She's unnaturally so good looking.
We got this fucking dump truck over here, Jordana Brewster, walking around.
Get her in the face.
What is happening? Walk away from this disaster.
I wish kill Jordana Brewster and just save the kid, because the kid will grow up and that will be another Fast and the Furious movie, and eventually you have 18 years for that one to come out. But the mom.
Yeah. By the way, the kid, they have this runner in the movie about how fighting over which toy car to give the kid.
Yeah.
And the kid is literally 4 months old.
By the way, that was a different baby every scene.
Really?
No, for sure.
Right, Adam? That was a different child.
Yeah. this is an infant who has no idea what any of you are talking about. Like,
no.
Oh, yeah.
Why have this dumb... Why not have him be 2 years old and then he can at least grab the car?
Yeah.
That is, also, why were they, look, there's a car guys. Look, they're car guys. and that's them the most important.
But this is a question I have about the team. Now, I have only seen one other of the Fast movies, but I couldn't tell what their specific skills were.
Normally it was all driving. They don't have.
It's not like this 11. Person does that and that person
only
does that.
Only a little bit.
Ludacris is the
computer guy.
But the rest are all drivers. I mean, as we were introduced to them, all drivers.
Yes.
They were not, like, they were never, like, Vin Diesel was never like, I'm a driver and I'm an amazing, like, kickboxer.
Those Brazilian guys in the last movie, they seem to be like demolition guys or something.
Oh, right. They didn't bring those guys back.
They didn't bring those guys back. I don't know why.
Why?
They said those guys. They referenced them and said, how come so-and-so and so-and-so aren't here? And somebody said, well, they got mixed up in some underground gambling thing in Monte Carlo or something. Okay. And that was their justification.
They couldn't have 15 people in the main cast.
When they got their pardons and they went back to East LA, did they lose all their money?
No, they don't need
all that money. They don't need what their happiness is about having a barbecue in the States, not a barbecue in Sardinia.
Oh my God!
And even with all that money, they're still gonna live in that little shitty house.
Yes.
Oh yeah,
and
oh, yeah.
all of
$14.93 or whatever the number was.
Can we just talk about we touch on it briefly, but so Paul Walker. I don't even understand why necessarily he has to go to this prison and infiltrate.
He gets no information out of it.
None.
By the way, when he comes back and he's like, all right, I did this. I talked to the guy. Here's what he said. And Vin Diesel goes, whatever you found is for you.
Yes.
What we're doing is for her.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, wait a second. Hold on.
Well, because that made no sense to me. That was for us, though. That was for
Why would he lose his number two guy for our 24 hours plus nine for there 2 days for 48 hours?
There should have been a scene where he was like, "Hey, man, whatever the reason is you're going, it's for you. I don't want you to. The mission is more important. You're being a selfish dick."
Yeah. And by the way, I didn't even understand. So basically, the movie puts forth the idea, and this is even crazier, that Vin Diesel's girlfriend Letty, who is Michelle Rodriguez. And after the first movie, she's kind of become good now. She's not bad. Then she starts working for Paul Walker, who is still a cop at that point.
She goes undercover to infiltrate a Mexican cartel.
But she was also a bad person in the first movie. So now she's a deputized cop who's now going undercover, which, okay. And so basically he put her in harm's way. Because this guy Shaw has been behind it since the beginning.
He's been the bad guy forever. For all time.
He is a bad guy.
I didn't catch that. So this guy Shaw has actually been pulling the strings for a long time.
Yes,
we believe so.
But he wasn't pulling the strings on our team for the long time.
They're strangers to him at this movie.
But they had had their paths had crossed, and he was responsible for Michelle Rodriguez's death because Shaw was working with that drug lord that Paul Walker put in jail.
Right.
So it's like a Jenga puzzle. You know, one piece comes out and the whole thing falls.
The crazy thing about that drug lord too is that he tells the story of what happened to Michelle Rodriguez so easily. He's like, you're going to die anyway, so I might as well tell you. And then launches into a 5-minute monologue.
But by the way,
a huge monologue.
But that
makes no sense.
Because he just wanted to tell the story.
Why not? But my question is, why wouldn't you tell him that? You're already in jail for life. So why wouldn't you tell this story? Why were you holding that close to your vest?
Why do you need it, Paul Walker? Why do you need to know any of this? None of the information that Paul Walker gets is brought to bear on the mission or the characters as it moves forward in the movie. It is a complete digression for no reason.
Yeah. The only thing I was gonna say though is I wish. There was one point where he's like, I'm going back to LA. I'm going to go and find this guy. And they're like, how can you go back to LA? You're a wanted man. And I was like, please let the next scene be of him like in a dress in a fucking crazy disguise, oh Madea style. And there was a part of me that's like, I feel like there's a 40% chance that he'll be like wearing a mustache or something. Right. Unfortunately, no. He just
was Shea Whigham though. I always liked Shea Whigham in a movie.
I would argue though that we needed to know that about Letty because then now we really want her to get back with the family because now we know that she's totally clean.
You know what? I could have given a shit. I really didn't care about Michelle. I was like, hey guys, I would rather you go after the international terrorists. Like Letty is kind of a letdown.
Nailed it.
Wow. Well, maybe they did that. Like,
how long have we been going? How long did it take me to get there? 25 minutes.
All right,
25 minutes.
Maybe the whole thing about her not remembering at the end of the movie is their justification for her being like a bad guy, essentially.
In the next movie?
Which she's all... No, like, maybe her memory's been erased, so now she's just a pure good guy.
Okay, you know what would
that makes sense.
That's interesting, but what would be more interesting to me is if now she is undercover for Shaw.
Yes.
With our guys.
Well, so I thought...
Because that...
Don't say that.
What...
Shaw,
the look on June's face is so sad at that idea.
Shaw was not a satisfying villain. Were you saying that, Adam?
No, I was saying, he wasn't the greatest villain, but I didn't think he had like a satisfying death.
No, not at all.
I didn't even see him die.
No, June ducked she went to write a note and at the best part of the movie, which was
the tank jumping out of the plane.
No, the human headbutt where like the rock.
Oh my god!
Did that fucking in midair headbutt? I can't even describe to you what I saw, but it was
okay, the action sequences. We haven't talked about when Vin Diesel jumped into the air off of a moving car.
Over a bridge.
Over a bridge.
Caught. Yep.
Michelle Rodriguez.
Who was launched off of her own car.
No, a tank.
A tank, sorry. She'd been launched off of a tank.
Caught her in midair.
Redirected them both like Superman.
Yeah.
They are superheroes.
They crashed onto a car and both walked away like, whoof. Can you believe that?
What if the next movie is them versus the Avengers?
Fuck yeah.
Avengers 2, that would be amazing.
I swear to God, if Neville Dean and Taylor do not direct the next one of these movies, I will be furious. Justin Lin dropped out.
He dropped out.
He did?
He did his three movies. And he's like, I'm moving on.
I get it. I will say this. There is almost nobody working in action right now who is as good as this guy at constructing action sequences.
Yeah.
These were phenomenal.
Yeah, they're great.
It's the only movie where, like, again, Paul Walker goes to prison for no real reason, and that fight sequence is awesome, too. Like, everything is great.
I think the fight sequence in the jail was my favorite sequence in the movie.
So
it was
good.
Awesome.
I mean, that's the other thing about this movie. Like, I was talking to a friend yesterday, and he's like, I don't want to see that movie because I don't like car chases. Like, that's one-fourth of what you're getting.
Oh, I also love the fight between... Wait, was there a guy... Was the Asian guy on the bad guy team who, like, kicked the shit out of Tyrese and Han?
Oh, yeah, he was great.
Was he from the Raid Redemption? No, right? He wasn't one of those guys,
I'll
was
check
he?
Right now.
Because at a certain point, he was fighting his fight style. I was like, "Ooh, is he that guy from that movie?" Because there was fight scenes, and that sequence in the subway was where Han and Tyrese both just are getting their asses handed to them. I thought it was both a great fight scene and really funny.
Yeah, it was a really that was awesome.
And the fight scene between Michelle Rodriguez and the other woman was amazing in the subway.
Oh, that she was great.
Yeah. That was great.
Well, that was the woman from Haywire. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Haywire. Forget her name, but
Gina Carano.
So she's like a real life stunt person, like on American Gladiators. And now she's in this movie as The Rock's partner. And guys, guess what? I fell for it big time.
Yep. She kicks butt.
But she's a fucking undercover bad guy.
What? She's a traitor!
She's a fucking traitor!
She's a mole!
I loved picture.
Paul was so shocked.
Were you guys shocked?
I saw it a mile away.
Oh, you did?
A mile away.
I was shocked. I assumed, at a certain point, I assumed there was a mole, but I thought, I didn't think it was going to be her.
I thought it was Michelle Rodriguez.
Thought that too at one point.
I thought she is evil and she's going to be the villain in the next
one. I do want to know.
That's
like,
what I think they wanted, which is why he says, come on, honey. You know, I think everybody was supposed to think it was Michelle Rodriguez. And
that
instead
was a great moment.
Oh my God,
that
so
was a great.
Great
moment.
I fucking came in my pants.
Did you see it coming at him?
I did not see it coming, but I have to say, like, with all of these actors, as awesome as they are in these movies, they can play around with moles and stuff like that because no one is playing more than one thing at the same time anyway. So, do you know what I mean? Like, I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, I could watch all of them for hours.
Yep.
I really could.
Just pursue singular wants.
But you could.
Without complexity.
Story-wise, make them all moles, and no one would know because there's do you know what I mean?
Yes.
I do, but I would say that...
you still pitching that all moles movie?
Yeah, it's called The Moles.
If they're all moles, that would be the great...
Everybody's selling everybody out.
Vin Diesel's performance, I think, is more complex than you're allowing, Adam. I really do.
It is not.
Yeah,
It is based essentially on a cadence.
Can I just? I want to play just the. This is like when The Rock comes to Vin Diesel for help. Just to play. Why not just hear some Vin Diesel Rock? Because what I love about this interaction too is there should be more of a punchiness to it, but there like they almost feel like we don't need to punch this up. We're just gonna let it sit. So here, take a listen.
I'm gonna need everything, all the info you got. You'll get it when the team gets it. No team. This is gonna have to be me alone.
It's not that simple. The crew we're after, they hit like thunder and disappear like smoke. You going alone? You won't ever touch them. Been chasing this guy across 4 continents and 12 countries, and believe me, the last damn place I want to be right now is on your front doorstep selling Girl Scout cookies. I need your help, Dom.
Wait, Jason.
What happened?
That is the most exposition you get. There's another exposition
they
moment.
They are talking so slowly.
So slow.
That was my big problem with Vin Diesel in this movie, is I felt like it was impossibly slow.
Yes, it was. It's almost as if he's discovered, like, no, my thing is very measured speech cadence.
Yes. By the way, The scene where he's with Michelle Rodriguez and then Shaw comes up, drives up.
I love that
like
scene.
After the street race.
And they show each other their scars.
Yeah.
Where it's very Lethal Weapon 3.
We haven't even spoken about it. There's a full music video before that street race.
Wait, it's an underground street race that looks like it's an outdoor DJ dance party.
The amount of production put in there, they had to be working during the day to set up that.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, no cop at any point walking around. Hey, what's going on here later tonight? Because it's also not like in a bad area. It's in that it's near Piccadilly Circus. It's like
Piccadilly
Square.
Circus.
Yeah,
yeah, and it's it's fully lit and
fully.
Super loud.
Oh yeah,
and it's apparently
really
this underground criminal race.
And by the way, the race that goes on, and there's no real judges of who is winning or who's not.
Because when they end the race, they're in an empty, dark parking lot, like miles away.
Yeah. And I guess
taking their pants off to show each other their gross scars.
I love that scar scene.
And then,
but when Shaw and he then have a bit of a verbal showdown, Shaw leaves.
Yes.
And then Vin Diesel, the first thing he says to somebody, the next thing he says is, "Well, this just got me one step closer to Shaw." And it's like, yeah. He was right. You guys were just talking.
Yeah, yeah. But remember,
and he was
closer.
Just,
you guys were just having a 7-minute conversation.
He was just talking to Michelle Rodriguez too.
Right
there.
And then they both just drive away.
Yeah. Did anybody else realize at a certain point in this movie, I was like, the civilian death toll
in car
accidents must be in the, thousands of people have died by now.
Well, in the last movie, when they took that safe down the street and it was like ripping through storefronts, like this one, I tell you who I felt bad for, the civilians I felt bad for. At the end of the movie, the whole climax takes place in a gigantic cargo plane. And there's some Russian pilots that are flying that. They didn't do anything wrong. They're just flying a plane.
Those guys
got bombed.
I did sort of want that plane to take off.
By the way, that runway must have been 50 miles because there's like a 30-minute sequence where the plane is just taxiing, never turns.
Right, and then there's a 15-minute sequence where the plane's like 30 feet off the ground.
And then it comes back down.
Yeah.
Then the plane comes back down, lands,
so much
so that they can drive out of it. The plane is up, it's down, it's up, it's down. And all that happens in between is the good guys keep shooting arrows. They all have hydraulic powered arrows or whatever that Nas substance is, and they're shooting arrows into the wings of the plane, attaching their cars to it to ensure their own deaths should the plane take off. They are only guaranteeing they themselves are casualties.
There is literally a moment in the movie where every car is attached to a plane.
Yes.
Like everybody is attached to the plane.
Somehow they've had time to build like pneumatic powered spear guns for everybody on the team.
When they introduce that spear gun, it shows the spear go through concrete and attach itself on the other side of this concrete wall.
Right.
And I think it's Tyrese who says, "What are you going to hunt, Moby Dick?" I was just kind of like, all right, you guys could sit down for 7 minutes and come up with a better joke than that.
Because they need to. They hit the farhead joke. They really went after Tyrese. That was clearly an improvised thing that like Ludacris is like, oh, I think I'm gonna make fun that Tyrese has a big forehead, which he doesn't. I don't think right.
No,
well, and, he's bald. So
oh, that's his big forehead.
Yeah, I think that's
everyone in this movie is bald. By the way,
nobody
the
except
Rock
for
is
Paul
bald.
Walker. Paul Walker's the only person with hair in this movie.
It's so weird. Everyone's so cleanly shaven over their entire head.
What is the deal?
At the end of the movie, you know, you think that Vin Diesel might have died, and he comes out of the fire, and all I wanted to see was his eyebrows burnt off, like when he walks out of the fire. That would have been a great ending.
He literally walks away from the wreckage of like a 3-story airplane that is on fire.
But before that happens, he's walking through it.
His body would be in flames.
You couldn't walk 20 feet or 100 feet near it, through the middle of it.
But before that happens, he drives a car that's engulfed in flames out of the airplane.
Yes.
Which is like the best shot of the movie.
Yeah, basically it's saying that the nose structure of a gigantic cargo plane is so weak, like balsa wood, that you could easily just drive a small car out, not a tank, which, by the way, there are tanks in this movie.
Holy shit, that was an awesome... I wish that hadn't been in the trailer, because that moment where it's like a transport truck, and then you don't know what, but the guys are after it, and this, that, and the other, and then all of a sudden, the transport truck rips apart, and they drive a tank, and the bad guys drive a tank out of it. I was like, this is fucking great!
It was great. I loved that sequence, and it was in broad daylight, too. The last sequence with the airplane was awesome, but it was at night, so it wasn't quite... I mean, it was great. But I'm kind of with June. I wanted that plane to go.
Yeah.
I wanted it to really take off and have them, like, you know, deal with being, you know, 3,000 feet up in the air.
Drive cars in outer space.
I do feel like they would...
they would be able to do it.
They would be able to do it. Yeah. They could jump that car out and it would be amazing. We got to take a quick break. We will be right back. Guys, big phone companies are an abomination. They're a scourge on our society. And I'm using strong words here, but only because I've seen the light. And the light is Ting, a new nationwide mobile service provider that is changing the way that we see cell phone contracts. Ting wants to give you clarity and control over your mobile phone usage. It's true. They're not bullshitting you, all right? With Ting, there's no termination fees, no overage charges, and you can have unlimited devices on a single plan for only $6 a month. Ting will even give you a refund on your actual lighter months. That's right. Ting lets you pay on the months and the minutes that you use. Big phone companies are always tacking on extra fees, but Ting puts money back in your pocket. Go to how.ting.com today and find out more. That's all I'm asking. Just go to how.ting.com and find out more. Open an account. If you go to the URL and you start using it, guess what? We're going to give you $25 off your device or in a service credit. That's how.ting.com. Check it out. Get your mind open to the new world of cell phone service. Say you're stranded on a desert island, and you can only bring one book. What would you bring? I'll give you a hint. It's not the Bible. It's a trick question. Why bring only one book when you can bring an entire library of audiobooks and stand-up albums using Audible.com, you fucking dummy? Just bring your iPod. You don't need to bring books to desert islands anymore. I mean, I'm sure you can fashion a plug out of a coconut. Audible is a premier online provider of audiobooks and audio entertainment. They have over 100,000 books to choose from. That's like more than you can read in a day. And you can play their audiobooks on any device. We're talking iPods, iMacs, Kindles, MP3s, ebooks, etc. If you go to Audible right now, you can take advantage of the special offer they're giving our listeners, a free audiobook and a free 30-day trial. All you have to do is log on to audiblepodcast.com/how. That's it. That's how you get it. You need a recommendation? If you like the Fast and the Furious nature of this podcast, maybe you'll enjoy Full Throttle, the life and fast times of NASCAR legend Curtis Turner. I'm going to tell you, I doubt that Curtis Turner ever strapped a safe to a car and drove it down Rio, or jumped off a bridge to save his girlfriend. But maybe he did. Get the audiobook. Find out. It's free. You can find out for free. Just go to audiblepodcast.com/how today. Get your free 30-day trial. Remember, audiblepodcast.com/how. That's audiblepodcast.com/how for a free audiobook and 30-day free trial. Get your mind listening. Okay, we're back. All right.
I mean, I'll tell you what. For the first time, I didn't take a goddamn note in this movie because I was just mouth
enjoying
agape,
it.
Loving every stupid minute of it. Time The Rock, I mean, like the moment at the end of the movie where The Rock and Vin Diesel have their final kind of like moment, and like they are emotional, like almost.
Yes.
But the way that they do it is they step to each other first.
Oh my God, okay? This is crazy.
Yeah. This is so crazy. They step to each other first, and then Vin Diesel says, I never thought I'd trust a cop, right?
Right.
And then The Rock takes a step towards Vin Diesel, but to the side of him. So now
they're in profile.
Their heads are next to each other, but they will not make eye contact with each other in case they kiss. Just are staring behind the other person. And Vin Diesel goes, and The Rock goes, "I never thought I'd trust a criminal." And I was like, this is the craziest. They are just standing side by side, not making eye contact.
And by the way, and that was an amazing shot, Justin Lin, because The Rock's head is so much bigger than Vin Diesel's head. It's almost odd. Like, these two, it was amazing.
The physicality of everybody in this movie, the fight between Shaw, and see, I actually did like Shaw. I thought he was a good kind of bad guy. He wasn't great, but he was
functional.
I liked that he was like a military guy. I liked that he wasn't just another crook or a cop who was after them. I liked that he was like a true like terroristy bad guy, I guess.
Yeah. What did he want to do? Like, what was his
He was
ending?
Selling bad guys. He was like black marketeer.
He was going to set the power switch that could shut down a country. That's what he was selling.
It was cool that he was culturally, like, everything about him was totally different than our heroes.
Yes. I agree with that.
If I may bring up one thing, though, about this movie, and it has to do with the story, and I loved it so much, but I felt like there were a couple times where, and especially that last scene, the profile scene between The Rock and Vin Diesel, I sort of felt like, oh, is this what the whole movie was about? Like, is this what this story is about? And it really wasn't, because they trusted each other implicitly, it seemed, the whole time.
From the start,
From the get-go.
Oh, no, we clearly trusted him, because he came to him and said, hey, you need to help.
No, it's not true. That's not true, because Hobbs put a tracker on Vin Diesel's car, and Vin Diesel didn't know about it. But then it turns out Vin Diesel did know about it. So I think Hobbs trusted him only so far.
I think he put the tracker on him, though, to keep him safe, as opposed to, like, he thought he was...
I think Hobbs and he had an agreement. I don't think they trusted each other until the end. Then they earned each other's trust.
I gotta say, I thought The Rock was fucking awesome in this
Unbelievable.
Movie.
I want a spinoff of that Hobbs character.
I love
that character.
I think it's also, I just saw Pain and Gain, so I'm like so psyched about The Rock.
I love The Rock.
Dude, no, I know, and I always have an idea.
You gotta get him for your Moles movie, man.
Yeah, he's gonna be the star of the Moles.
A head mole?
But his whole thing about whenever he referred to his to Gina Carano or whatever, he kept calling her woman.
Yeah,
was that like a thing from the last movie that I don't remember that he was like?
I think he didn't remember her name.
I liked that whenever he entered, they made a joke about how he oils up his muscles. Like he came in once in Ludacris or Tyrese.
It smells
like baby oil. Like they were teasing. Like in this movie, Ludacris and Tyrese were the comedic relief. They were always the pranksters and the jokesters, like Casey Affleck in the, and what's his name?
I read an article and it was actually really funny. They said that everyone in this movie is Casey Affleck from Ocean's 11.
guys, but, the size of The Rock's neck.
Yeah. It's like your waist.
Crazy.
But the thing that I love about a real person's waist. The thing that that's crazy. Why I say when you see his head in contrast to Vin Diesel, who's also a big man, he makes Vin Diesel look like a small man. But the choice I love about The Rock is he's always walking.
Yeah,
like he was always never stopped moving. Like never was not. Like,
and his truck is bigger than he is. Like he appears to be
his
like
truck
Hagrid.
Is a building. He's a building.
Yes, he's a gigantic. The only person that's bigger than him is the guy he squares off against.
Yes.
The guy on the other team who is their big Hulk.
The Aryan guy. Yeah.
Which made me, I wrote down this note here. Does The Rock have a stunt double? And if so, I would like to see that guy.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because that guy's got to be fucking giant.
I think
giant.
He definitely doesn't.
You don't think he has a stunt double?
He must.
No, I don't think so.
He has to.
So you think when they're lighting Rock scenes, there's somebody like standing on apple boxes or something?
I think when you work on this movie with these people, I think the other thing that really comes through in this movie is there's an authenticity to these. I'm dead
what
serious.
What is
you
happening?
You feel like these people are a little hard and they come from, like, they know this world. I feel that.
I don't know.
Are you serious? I feel like there's so much machismo on set. I feel like all these guys are doing their own stuff.
I feel like this is what the movie is
no
like.
Way.
They're like, all right, guys, we're going to call action in 5 minutes, but everyone can do your push-ups now. And I feel like there's like a big push-up circle before every scene.
Dude, when I worked on Torque, I may have said this in the last podcast, but when I worked on Torque, we would be doing these scenes where it was like 12 people. And they would, and a lot of those dudes would do curls right before.
Oh my God.
Because they had like oiled up, like sleeveless t-shirts and they're all oiled up and stuff. And they would do curls before.
Amazing.
Action.
Well, to me, I feel like The Rock is, not only is he oiled up and ready to go, but he has also got a size shirt that's like a woman. What do they call those shirts? Like for girls, they're like baby tees. He's like wearing a baby tee version of his shirt. And so is Vin Diesel. There's no flex on these undershirts.
I swear they must have to be cut out of these shirts. There is no way they can get them off.
Well, The Rock just every night just rips off the shirt and goes to bed.
I mean, The Rock in this movie looks great, like more. He looks bigger than I've ever seen.
Oh my God. It's so crazy. Unsettling to watch him in juxtaposition to people. It's crazy.
Is he this jacked up in Pain and Gain?
Maybe he was just dressed differently or so. I don't know. I thought he looked even more than Pain and Gain.
I mean, because he really does look like a Hulk. There's a really funny joke. I laughed really hard at it. When Ludacris gets a phone call from The Rock and it just says Samoan Thor.
Yeah.
I thought that was really funny.
Wait. Paul, have you not seen Pain and Gain?
Not yet. I was away when it came out, and I have not been back.
Jesus Christ.
I know.
I have not seen it.
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, my God. You guys, what are you doing?
Adam, we are so sorry.
By the way, just a quick side note on this, and we can all talk about this later, and this may actually be a contender for this movie. Go see The Last Stand, the Schwarzenegger movie.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
That's pretty great.
It's exactly what you want to see from Schwarzenegger again, but I digress. There's too much here to talk about.
I just have a very quick update as to something we were talking about in a recent podcast, which is I just got a notice on my phone that just says Amanda Bynes suing police, getting nose job, becoming rapper.
Amanda
just
Bynes.
Just so we know, that's where we're at in the Amanda Bynes saga.
By the way, Amanda Bynes, yesterday, the cops knocked on her door. She threw a bong out of her window, said it was a lamp. It was not a lamp. And is wearing a wig because she had to shave off all of her hair.
What?
Anyway, go ahead.
She had to.
She is wearing. wearing a wig.
What do you mean she had to shave off all of her hair?
I think there was some issue where she needed to shave off all of her hair. She's
maybe
wearing a wig.
Because it was full of spiders, maybe. What are we talking about?
Get honest, Amanda Bynes.
Because it was talking to her.
I did love that she threw a bong out the window of her apartment.
And said it was a lamp.
Well, somebody said, well, you can't flush it. So.
Holy cow.
Just while we were talking about The Rock, I want to talk about this fight where The Rock goes in to interrogate some guy in the first scene of the movie.
A guy that looks just like Vin Diesel?
Yes, that's like, you think like The Rock is gonna, like he caught Vin Diesel, even though that doesn't really work because you already established that Vin Diesel's like not doing crime anymore. But he beats the fuck out of this guy. Like, but throws him around like a rag doll.
The guy should be dead.
Like,
he should be dead.
Like, into the ceiling, into the walls. And the room, when he walks out of it, it looks like an earthquake happened. I'm not exaggerating.
Yeah.
It looks like lamps are hanging, or like the lights are hanging.
Walls are cracked.
The table is like, the metal table is in like splinters.
Yes. And this is not a man who fought back either.
No.
This is just The Rock literally throwing a human being around like a rag doll. Just.
Yeah. No. It was crazy. And then that guy is 100% fine.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the thing I wanted to talk about. So The Rock interrogates and finds out where Shaw's hiding, and they're going to infiltrate Shaw's place. Now, they go to Shaw's hideout with no discretion at all.
None.
Like, literally, there are hundreds of police officers on the ground with cars, sniper rifles.
Lights. Everything. Yeah.
There's all an around, army of cops outside.
Around Shaw's hideout. Meanwhile, Shaw is inside.
Yes.
And they start putting on a wire on this guy that The Rock beat the shit out of. And in plain view, Shaw's a smart guy. Like, I don't even know what they were doing here.
No. It is the most ill-conceived operation you've ever seen.
You sort of just wonder, why not all just go in?
Yeah.
Yeah, they need him to go into ID Shaw first.
Who cares?
Right? Who cares?
Who cares if it's
but I
not
will
him?
Say, I loved that. I loved the car chase that followed this sequence where Shaw and I'm obsessed with the blonde lady.
Oh,
I'm obsessed with blonde lady driver who was such a bat. When this actually, so Shaw's driving this really low slung car.
Claire Padgett.
So good.
That car is amazing. That has the thing on the front where he can just plow through anything.
Oh, it was like a better version of the Batmobile.
Yeah, so he can hit other cars and flip them up and start using other cars as weapons.
Yes.
It was incredible.
That was unbelievable. And then when it doubled, and there was another one with the blonde lady, I was like, this just went into the best movie.
And can I say, that's like 15 minutes in. That would be like the end of most movies.
Yes.
I turned to June at one point in the movie. I said, when they got to the tank sequence, I was like, June, this movie's only been going on for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, they have so much action in the first 90 minutes of the movie that it's like, it's more action than like three action
movies.
It is
nonstop.
It's so great. And these movies, especially this one and the last one, I think, I thought the first one was fantastic, but you do not, you get every penny when you go and buy a ticket for these, every penny's worth. They're so kick-ass.
And, you know,
I have one penny I'd like back.
Oh, really?
I do feel, I'm sorry to, talk about story again, but the whole pre-credit sequence is about Paul Walker and his son.
Yes.
And him having, given up the life and getting out of the life. And so I felt we were, again, primed for this story that never really happened.
Well, no, can I argue that Paul Walker's thing is setting up family is important, and family is the through line.
And that Letty is family. And that the only reason to go back isn't for another score. It's more money or whatever. It's for
family.
And he has
to make it right.
And a wife who is clearly starving.
Yeah.
And which leads to why Fast and Furious 7 is going to be great, because now they have to protect the family from this assassin.
I love
Chef Chelius.
I fucking hope that this movie comes out like tomorrow.
I
want to see Fast 7 immediately.
Oh, it's so fucking good. There was one thing I just wrote down. There's really no way to segue into it besides saying, if I could see Ludacris speak Spanish for an entire movie, I think I would love it.
Great.
Like, just the only person I've ever seen speak Spanish without doing an accent. It's just like Ludacris just saying Spanish. It's, I don't know why I wrote it down, but I loved it so much.
It was amazing.
I have a note I wrote that says, why did they give a shit about Interpol being taken down? I kind of remember a scene where Vin Diesel is all of a sudden like, wait a second, are they going to take down Interpol?
Yeah.
And they all like why are these guys give a shit?
These are criminals.
Makes no sense.
Yeah.
It's like, they're like, well, that's the moment where they're like, well, he lured us all the way out here just so they could hit Interpol. You guys go that way and I'm going to go after Shaw.
But you're right. There's no sense throughout in the movie that like they are in over their heads. Like they've never done anything on this scale.
Their whole plan goes to shit. Like their entire plan. And Paul Walker's like, we do what we do best.
Yeah.
Improvise.
Yeah.
Like
the,
what?
The only comedy scene that really did fall flat for me was when the English like butler character.
Oh, the cars, the auctioneer. Oh.
Yeah, when they had that man stripped
down.
That
was bad.
Yeah,
that was uncomfortable.
That was uncomfortable.
Well, because basically, what happens is again,
you guys are just weird about human sexuality.
Sorry.
Just a real erotic show.
The Rock and Ludacris team up, which is also a weird. Like, why did they team up? It should have been The Rock and Tyrese. They team up to go buy all the cars from Shaw? Was it Shaw's
No,
car?
No, no. They needed cars to pimp out, and Ludacris wanted these old snazzy cars.
Oh, okay.
Rather than what The Rock was offering, which was off-the-line BMWs.
Got it.
So, because what they needed, right, were cars that didn't have chips in them, so they needed old cars that don't have chips.
Oh, right, because he could shut down all those cars.
Because they could shut down all those new cars with chips.
Got it.
This is crazy because I got none of that. I was just
I didn't either, Adam.
Spacing out until the next.
Yeah.
Well, there literally is.
So they went to an antique car auction, basically, and got old cars that wouldn't have chips, right? That's what I assumed.
No, you're actually very right. When you say it, it makes sense. I did not get that from the movie.
Yeah.
I thought they were buying Shaw's cars. And then, so basically, the butler guy who was selling, he really is dressed like a butler, and he's like, kitchen staff to the back.
Oh, my God.
And they're like, whoa, we're not kitchen staff. We're here to buy these cars, you asshole. And, you know, he doesn't really believe them. And then they buy all the cars, and then the guy.
Well, first, you think they're going to steal them.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Because The Rock is going, don't steal these cars.
Yeah.
Don't
yeah.
you steal these cars. And I was like, ooh, the next action sequence is going to be stealing these cars. And instead, they just bought them.
They bought them all. And then, oddly, the auctioneer comes to like do the final payment at their secret bunker where they have all their cars. So he brings in all their cars at the secret bunker. And he's like, well, if there's anything you need me to do, I'll do it for you. But now he's insulted them. So they go, yeah, we want your watch.
Yeah.
Okay. We want your shirt. And they make this like older white actor.
It's so hard because do they make? I also question like, why is this man doing that?
Yeah, the man shouldn't have done that. He should have said, "No, I have a dignity. You bought my fucking cars. I'm not going to strip naked for you."
No, he must be humiliated.
And why did they want? Why were these two men
tight and British? And he was a racist.
Well,
frankly,
he was a racist. Absolutely, was a racist.
Here's the deal: he was a racist, and he got what was coming to him.
But why did they want him to take his clothes off?
That's what I'm confused about. Yeah.
Sexual shame.
And then it was so awkward watching him leave.
You know what was like a really just dumb, boring choice was when, just kind of going back to the beginning of the movie, when Vin Diesel goes to Paul Walker's like palatial country mansion where he's hanging out with his family, and shows him the photo and says, will you come with me to go on this incredibly dangerous mission? And Paul Walker doesn't even think about it and just says yes, and his wife is just like, hey, you got to go. She's family. It's like, wouldn't it be interesting and not take any more time if she just struggles with it a little bit and kind of doesn't want her, you know, he's in family life now. And
yeah, they just had a baby. Yeah, like it's like you could be killed. This is a dangerous, this is a fucking crazy dangerous. Like, just, no, she's like the best wife ever. She's no complaints, no
oh,
nothing.
Oh, yeah, no, she's cool with it. And again,
for a girl, by the way, for a girl that Vin Diesel dated many years ago, and in between, Vin Diesel started dating Giselle, then broke up with Giselle.
Oh, wait, he and Giselle were together?
Oh, in Fast Furious 4.
I didn't know that.
Were together in 4.
Oh, I like that.
And then he got together with the next girl in 5.
Oh, and he's not broken up at all about Giselle's death.
Yeah, oh, and by the way, then that girl comes that he was fucking in Brazil.
Yeah,
Brazilian,
I know. The movie starts with him in bed with Brazilian police lady.
From 5.
And you see, like, side boob. You see the only
nice
bit of side boob. Really nice side boob. She then disappears for the rest of the movie.
The whole movie is ever one scene when they're going to kidnap the baby and then Jordana Brewster.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. Like a weird cutaway.
Yeah.
And then she shows up at the end to be like, to Michelle Rodriguez, you keep him out of trouble. He's your business now. And
well,
he's like...
Also, at the beginning, when they're in Sardinia or whatever, he gets the photo and she doesn't struggle with it all either. She goes, if that was my husband, I'd go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aren't you guys living together? Like, this is
Doesn't this call into question all of the commitment you've made to each other?
You see, that is why this movie is fucking awesome. Everyone's like, I get it. No need for a fight. Let's go. I'm on your
By the
family.
Way, is her husband missing?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Her husband was a police officer. That was part of Fast Five.
Oh, I forgot.
Of course he's coming back.
Her husband had been a police officer who was going after corrupt people, and he was murdered. And so in order to avenge his murder, she became a police officer.
Or so we know. He could be coming back.
Oh, what?
I'm just saying.
I like the sound of that.
No one dies.
No one can
die. No one dies.
Guys, this movie...
I want to keep talking forever.
It's so good.
It's amazing.
I'll just go around and just ask, who's your favorite character and why?
I gotta say Giselle.
Giselle, mine as well.
Giselle all the way.
I was actually angry. I said at some point, I was like, I feel like they're not giving Giselle enough to do.
I know.
Because I thought I really like her character. I liked her in Fast Five. And I felt like she and Han were kind of like ignored in this one a little bit. So I do like
but
them.
She had such a great death. She was so beautiful. It was like Greek tragedy style, epic.
It was better.
It was unbelievable.
Better than everything.
Who was your favorite character?
The Rock. I thought he was... Yeah, I thought he was just better than he was in the last one. Like, he's kind of figured... I just thought he was awesome.
He calls himself Franchise Viagra because they bring him into franchises and reinvigorates him. And, you
G.I. Joe, he was, you know, like, same thing, right?
Did he
coin that phrase himself?
Yes, he did.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I'm gonna go out and say that my favorite character in this one... I think Han had the most emotional journey. Yeah, he's not super showy.
Yeah,
no, he's
but
not.
he had a lot going on. He's a little shy sometimes.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Why is he always eating? Do you know that?
Oh, by the way,
he's always eating,
just like Brad Pitt in Ocean's 11.
Yes.
Yeah.
By the way, that was the best.
Just like Brad Pitt in every movie Brad Pitt's in.
Babel. There's the big exposition scene where The Rock gets the whole team together. They can't even give you a camera on The Rock for the entire time because they know the audience is like, ah, fuck the exposition.
Yeah.
They have they supplement it with just a joke about a vending machine and peanuts. Like, you're going to eat those peanuts?
Oh, my God.
And then
an elaborate joke, too.
Oh, yeah. And then The Rock shoot because guys, Tyrese has got a real sweet tooth. He's got a real sweet tooth. He really wants a 100 grand bar or what. It's he's always snacking. Sweets. But Han is always has a bag of chips. There's something weird about Han and eating.
We got to get into it in the next movie. Guys, is it safe to say we'll see each other again at Fast 7?
Absolutely.
100%.
When was Fast 5 2 years ago or 1 year ago?
A year and a half, two?
Yeah, I feel like they're just churning these out. Let's see. I'm going to tell you right now.
I don't know, but it was...
It can't come quick enough.
This is...
Fast 5 came out in 2011. Fast 6 is now in 2013. Yeah.
This is one of the best movies we've ever done.
Yeah,
hands
for sure.
down.
And I know, Adam, I get what you're saying, Adam. I think that if I have to go Fast 5 or Fast 6, I probably would take Fast 5 just by a little bit because I feel like Fast 5 is the one where they figured out why it's so much fun. This one, they definitely pushed it.
Yes,
and they were
push.
Yeah, and I like the push too. Believe me, I'm saying this is like the difference between a 9 and a 10.
I will say this, and because I might agree in that, but because I really loved Brazil. Fast Five.
Yeah,
I loved the favelas. I loved the setting.
Yes.
The setting was amazing.
Yeah,
this
agree.
Was London,
London
and it wasn't
yeah,
as
pretty
poppy.
Dismal.
Well, because they were not really in London ever. They were always walking.
They were, it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's not as
It didn't
cool.
seem to have the
not
same. I felt like they wanted city to have those city driving kind of race
guys,
scenes and stuff.
Fucking Fast Seven is going to be in L.A. It has to be in L.A. And that would be great.
Oh, yeah. Chev Chelios in L.A. coming to fucking kick ass. I mean, if Justin Lin is out, why not Neville Dean and Taylor? How
they
do we get this
amazing.
Done?
We know them. We got to tell them, guys.
We got to call Brian Taylor.
I mean, that's, whoever takes on this franchise, that's a very, very tough movie to make. It's a tough,
do you think they should let us write it?
If they let us write, if Universal would let us write
Giselle's
that movie.
Coming back.
Let's start a campaign. Our fans should start a campaign to let the hosts of How Did This Get Made write Fast 7.
Okay. Oh my God. It would be the best. Oh, it would be so good.
It would be incredible. And it would be like a serious Fast 7 movie.
I will say that I've asked my agent when this movie was cast, I was like, anything.
Oh, I did the same.
Anything. I will do it. I will walk across a fucking scene. I don't care. It's so good.
Amazing.
Just so you guys know, coming up on June 6th, Adam is the starring in another one of the greatest event in the history of television. It's back for a second episode on Adult Swim at 12 o'clock. It's going to be very good. You, Amy Poehler, it's going to be awesome. Very excited about
that. Co-starring Paul Scheer and written by Paul Scheer
co-written,
himself.
Co-written. Yeah, co-written by the two of us. It's going to be fun. I'm very excited.
Awesome.
Jason, The Dictator is out on Netflix.
Oh, it is? Oh, nice.
Yeah, so you can definitely check it out.
Are you still on that cut?
Yeah, I'm still in it. Still in The Dictator.
Fantastic.
If you want to check it out.
You know what, Jason? I checked, and you are still in it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Good, good,
still
good,
in
good,
The
good,
Dictator,
good.
So check that out, guys.
June, you can see June, Burning Love, Season 2, Season 3. It's all online. A big shout-out and thank you to the people behind Field Notes. You guys sent us an amazing care package of awesome stuff. Thank you, Field Notes, for that. We really appreciate that. And just a reminder, if you haven't done it yet, go to our brand new website where you can suggest the movies that you want to hear us talk about. Go to fyi.earwolf.com. That's for your in consideration. So fyi.earwolf.com. As always, How Did This Get Made t-shirts are available. Just go to earwolf.com and buy one of those shirts. Did we miss anything? Were we wrong? Write us on the message boards for this episode at earwolf.com and tell us what we missed, and we'll read it on the next mini episode. All right, that is all for us. See you next time.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio, boom.com. The wolf dead.